Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I want to thank you for having us and giving us the privilege to come here. I very much appreciate it. Thank you to Paul and Walter and Joe for taking us out to eat. I told John yesterday, I said, we can't say we didn't eat good down here. We have. And we ate good last night under this preaching, didn't we? Brother Don brought an excellent message. Thank you, Don. All right, Galatians chapter 2. I want to begin reading here in verse 11. Galatians 2:11. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Sat there at that table eating with the Gentiles, eating things forbidden by the law of Moses. When these Jews came from James, it says, when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. That's an important word. Sanctification is to be separated, is to be set apart. And he withdrew and separated himself. We don't separate ourselves. He separated himself. And it says, fearing them, which were of the circumcision. When we're separated by the Lord, we're separated fearing the Lord. But getting to wisdom's the fear of the Lord. We're separated unto him, giving reverence for him. But he separated himself, fearing them. And then it says this, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now, they thought what they were doing, Peter did that and those other Jews did that, Barnabas did that, thinking that was what it was to walk uprightly. And he said they didn't walk uprightly. They didn't walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. And I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? That's the issue with legalism right there. When you compel others to live by the law. If a man is a weak brother and he's called of God, he delights in the gospel of Christ, and he thinks he ought to not eat this or not drink that, and he thinks he ought to observe this day or whatever, but he really believes the Lord and he thinks this is honoring to the Lord, but he's not trying to compel anybody else to do it. He doesn't have a problem if you don't do it. Paul said, leave him alone. He's a brother, he's just a weak brother. Help him, instruct him, teach him. But when a man starts compelling others to live by the law, that's not according to the gospel. Paul said, when they tried to compel Titus to be circumcised, he said, we didn't consent to that for not even a minute, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now let's read further. He says, we, verse 15, we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles. And it appears to me here by what Paul's about to say that he's saying we who are true Jews, given a new nature, circumcised in the heart, and not those sinners who won't still think they can come to God by the law. Because here's what he says about it. We being true Jews, truly circumcised, verse 16, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That right there, that one statement, is sanctification and righteousness all in one statement. Because you don't know until you've been given a new holy heart. But when you've been given a new holy heart, you know then that we don't establish the law and fulfill the law at all by our works. We're justified, we're sanctified by Christ alone. And he says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, by his faith and his fidelity, by him, by his person and his work, by what he accomplished. And it says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. And if your Bible doesn't make that distinction, get one that does, because that's important. We're saved and justified by the faith of Christ. And that's why we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not any. And then he makes a very, very, very important statement. Now I want you to pay close attention to this statement he makes. He says, but, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now stay with the context here of what he's saying. Stay with the context of what he's saying. He's talking about the sin. If I confess and profess that I'm justified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my righteousness, and yet I commit the sin of turning from Christ to the law of Moses in order to sanctify myself and separate myself, and I compel others to do the same, is that the sanctification that Christ works in the heart of his child? God forbid. God forbid. What is it then? Look at verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself the transgressor.
Yes, sir.
I'm building again the things that I destroyed, in the sense that when I profess to believe Christ, I profess that he had broken down the middle wall of partition. He had accomplished and established the law fully for his people and broken down that middle wall so that there's no more separation between his people based on law. Christ is our righteousness. But if I turn from Christ back to the law for righteousness or sanctification, I'm building again that wall. And that's not the sanctification Christ works in the hearts of his people. That is a man making himself to transgress. And here's the problem. It's transgression against Christ. It's transgression against Christ. Now, here's where I want us to focus right here. Why is it transgression against Christ? Number one, verse 19, here's the number one reason. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. I, through the law, am dead to the law. Whenever Christ came forth, the reason he came forth, this is what's so ridiculous about telling sinners, that compelling sinners to live under the law and by the works of the law and to seek some sort of adding something to Christ by the works of the law. This is what's so absurd about it. The whole reason Christ came is because you and I could not give the law what it demanded. We could not. Paul said that in Romans 8. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You and I could not give the law the demands that it requires at all. We couldn't do it. And that's the reason God gave it, to show us we can't.
Right.
He gave it to declare us guilty and shut our mouths.
Amen.
From making any boast or any pretense of having done anything remotely resembling a perfect obedience to that law. And there is nothing else. But if it's obedience to the law, it's perfect obedience.
Right.
And not a halfway obedience to the law. It's got to be... the law's got to be who you are. It's got to be your very person. Christ didn't strive to fulfill the law. That's who he is. He is the righteousness of the law. He is the righteousness of God. He walked about under the law, never offending the law, because he's God. He's God in human flesh. But he didn't come to push the law aside. He didn't come to sweep sin under the rug. That law had to be honored. Brother Marvin read there last night where he said, I'm pleased with his righteousness. Behold my servant. Behold my servant. He's the one that honored the law. He's the one that magnified the law. I'm pleased with his righteousness. He looked and there was no intercessor. There was no man. And his own arm sustained him. His arm established righteousness and brought salvation to him. This is, we're talking about Christ. And he came forth to fulfill the law. So it's not that he did it apart from the law. He did it through the law. He did it through the law. The law and the prophets bear witness. You remember whenever Moses came and he was going to die and Joshua was taking him into the land of promise? You remember he's the law bearing witness that he can't take you into the land of promise. And the prophets bear witness that the law can't take you into the land of promise. Christ is the only one that can take you into the land of promise. He said in Romans 3, now the righteousness of God is manifested by the law and the prophets. Christ fulfilled everything that was written. Men will read that scripture where Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. And they'll say, see there, the law is still in effect. If you're saved by grace, you still have to keep the law. Well, listen to that reasoning. That also means you have to fulfill the prophets. Because he said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And he fulfilled the law and the prophets. So that now, because Christ went to the cross, and because every one of his people were in him, when he laid down his life and died under the justice of God, the law said, they're dead. They're dead. I'm satisfied. The wages of sin is death, and it has been paid in full. Amen. And they're dead. They're dead. And so Paul says here, I, through the law, am dead to the law. I'm dead to the law. That body of sin was destroyed in Christ. If you can just picture it, when Christ went into that tomb, our body of sin was buried. When Christ came out of that tomb, a new man came out of that tomb, and we came out of that tomb in him, a new man. All his elect came out of that tomb in him, a new man. But that body of sin didn't come out. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we sat down in him. I'm dead to the law. You're dead to the law. Sinner, oh, if we could get this. You and I sin. We see our sin. That's all we do is sin. But you think about this. To be dead to the law means God won't ever, ever, ever charge one of his people and condemn one of his people ever again because Christ put our sin away. Dead to the law. And he said in Romans 7, we were married to that law. That was our husband. We could not lawfully be married to Christ till that husband died. And when we die to that husband, and it says, and that husband died to us. And now we can lawfully be married to Christ. Now if we turn from him and go back to that law, the reason that is transgression, reason that I make myself the transgressor against Christ, that's just like a woman cheating on her husband. The only way you can show faithfulness to Christ, the only way a woman shows faithfulness to her husband, by being faithful to her husband. And you want to walk according to the truth of the gospel? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Dead to the law. Here's the second reason it's transgression. I'm dead to the law, he says there in verse 19, that I might live unto God. I'm not supposed to be living to that old husband. I'm not supposed to be going to put flowers on his grave. I'm supposed to be living under Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ.
Yes.
And when you look through the scriptures, you see over and over and over through the scriptures where Christ says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Peter said he's left us as an example that we should follow in his steps. We were on our way over here, and when we left the hotel, I didn't know how to get here. I didn't know exactly where to go. We came over here last night, but I didn't know exactly how to get here. So Marvin said, I said, you know how to get there? He said, yeah. And I said, I'm going to follow you. And we got behind him, started over here on the interstate, and we're driving along, and I said, you know, John, I said, I hadn't looked to a single sign on this interstate. I hadn't looked at a single exit.
Right.
And I said, you know what I've done? I've kept my eyes on Martin.
Right.
I'm following him. Yeah. My daddy used to give me this big old long list of chores to do while he's at work. And it was never a small list. It was always so big there was no possible way I was ever going to do it. And I'd get out there and get to trying to do it, and there was things that he put on there, and I'd think, I don't know how in the world to do that. You know, and I'd be out there trying to do what he wanted me to do. I just didn't know how to do it. When he came home from work, he'd say, son, follow me. And he'd take off out there and around the house and around the yard, and we'd go to working, and I would just follow him. And I never went back to that list of chores and sat down and started figuring out how do I do this. I followed him. And the way I learned how to walk and do what he wanted me to do was following him and watching him and looking at him. See, Christ is our rule of life. We're living under Christ.
Amen.
You want to learn about the law and understand what the law taught, the spirit of it and the truth of it, you're not going to learn it by looking at the letter of the law.
Right.
The letter of the law won't show you the spirit and truth of the law. You want to see what the love of the law is? Look to Calvary's cross.
Yeah.
Look to Calvary's cross. See, love God and your neighbor as yourself. Look at Calvary's tree and you'll see the love of the law, which is righteousness. You'll see there one hanging there who was loved his Father so much to declare him just and to justify. He's willing to be forsaken of God with the sin of his people upon him. Willing to be justly forsaken of God. And at the same time, willing to bear that so he can have mercy on his children and save us from our sins. Men want to talk about their obedience to the law. That's what it takes.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's the fulfillment of it right there. That ought to shut our mouths about any obedience to
Amen.
The law. Christ is the rule we're to follow, and you learn everything from him. He says, do all things to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it. First motive of the heart for the believer, living under Christ, is this. What's going to honor him? What's going to honor him? Whatever that principle you think about, if you were just living by the letter of the law, there's, you know, you see this, and in the cold letter of the law, it's like, how does that apply to this over here? But you have this principle of glorifying God in everything you do, and that's going to apply to every situation, every circumstance you come into. And love your brethren. Do what's for their good. Do what's not going to cause them to stumble. Do what's going to be edified for. Live unto God and do what's best. That's what you learn from Christ. Look into Christ. Following Christ. So if I turn from him back to that law, that I make myself a transgressor.
Yeah.
Alright, here's another reason. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Yes, I died. I'm justified by what he did. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live.
Yes.
Now we're entering sanctification. I live.
Mm-hmm.
I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, when he begins to preach this gospel to you, and he begins to bind his foal to the choice vine, he takes a child of God who's never been broken, never been tamed, and he breaks your heart. And he tames you. And he binds you to him. One time, when I was about 13 years old, I decided I was going to ride a calf in the rodeo. And so my uncle, he set up this barrel in a yard and put some ropes to it, and I'd get out there and get on that barrel, and he'd get to, you know, he'd pull that barrel, and I'd ride that barrel, you know, and I'm learning how to ride me a calf. Rodeo was coming up a month or two away. I'd been doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I thought I was something. Well, I could ride that barrel, you know, and I can ride a calf. I know I can ride a calf. And there was a man down at my mom's beauty shop, and he was getting his hair cut, and he saw me out there, and I come in, you know, and he said, "You're pretty good on that barrel." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to ride a calf in the rodeo." He said, "Well, I got a horse up at the house that's never been ridden, a little old colt." And he said, "You want to come up there and ride him?" I said, "You betcha, I sure do." So I took off up there with him and got to his house, and he brought this colt out. In my mind, I'm thinking, a little colt. And he brings this colt out. And he puts a saddle on that colt. And it didn't do anything, just sit there. And he puts me on that colt. Colt don't do a thing. He leads me out to this open field. Colt walked along right behind him, didn't do a thing. And he handed me the reins, and I had the reins, and I'm standing there on this, sitting there on this colt. Colt don't do a thing. And I spurred the colt. And he went straight up and straight down, and I went right over his shoulders and landed on my head. My earlobes touched my shoulder. I couldn't tame the colt.
Yeah.
But Christ can.
Yeah.
Christ can. He makes you to behold him. He makes you to behold his eyes red with the joy set before him and going to that cross and taking the sin of his people and bearing that justice of God and pouring out his life's blood for his people. And he makes you to behold him there in agony on that cross, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he makes you behold him, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and I'm going to put my spirit in their heart, and I'm going to give them a new nature, and I'm going to make them partaker of the divine nature. They're going to behold me and see me. And when they do, he said, they're going to mourn for me as one mourns for his only son. He melts that hard heart. And he brings you into submission to him. And he gives you the faith to believe him. And he gives you the repentance to... He is the repentance. He is the faith. He turns you from your vain works and your dead works and makes you to behold... Here's salvation. His teeth are white with milk. He speaks into your heart and he says, my son, it's finished. The works are finished. It is finished. And when Christ has been formed in you, you have now the nature in you of God. To be changed into the image of God in that new man is to be partaker of his nature.
Yeah.
And so what God hates, you're going to hate. And what God loves, you're going to love. God hates sin. And his people don't love sin. Now, in our flesh, we do.
Sure.
And that's the thing we hate. But when you sin against him, it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
This is the sanctification he works. God, of God is Christ made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And he makes you to behold him, and he makes you to follow him and to be led of him. And you live now by his faithfulness. By his faithfulness. When you stand up and you preach, if you can stand up and preach, it's because his faithfulness has given you the words to speak. If you walk and do something you ought to do, it's his faithfulness that made you do what you ought to do. If you turn from sin to follow him, he turns you from sin to follow him. It's God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The Son of God. Now look, who loved me gave himself for me. That's sanctification and righteousness. The Lord said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, in loving kindness, I've drawn you.
Amen.
He formed himself in the heart of his people because he loved his people. And he wouldn't take no for an answer, as Brother Don said. He drew you to himself, and he binds you to him so that you can't be separated from him. Hell can't separate you from him. And when he binds you to him, he shows you, I've loved you. And you're constrained then, not compelled, not forced, not whipped, not promised a reward, not any of those mercenary motives that religion gives you. Now you're constrained by the love of Christ. That love for you. And you have a love for him. We don't speak much of it because there's not much to speak of, but we're constrained by his love. And he shows us, and I gave myself for you. That's how I'm made holy and righteous. So, what's the end of that for the man that he's worked this in? You going to turn back to the law? Oh, you might do like Peter did and make a mistake and do something like that. But he's going to use one of his brethren to teach you. That's not right, walking according to the truth. And a man that's taught of him and in whom he dwells, when he hears that, he's going to be corrected. Yes. He'll be corrected. The man who's not born of him, made righteous by him, he'll turn back and he'll build that wall back up again. And he'll try to use that wall to say he's better than you and he's more holy and he's getting more holy and more holy and more holy. Paul said in the next chapter, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's utter foolishness. That's bewitching. That's bewitching. And 99.9% of what you hear preached in this world today is bewitching doctrine. It's devil worship. And Paul said you can't be a partaker of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. They don't. Light and darkness does not have any communion, has no fellowship whatsoever. So what do we say to these things now, knowing what he's done for us? Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not turn from it. I don't kick against it. I don't try to add to it. I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, if holiness come by the law, if justification come by the law, if redemption come by, if anything comes by the work of my hands, and I say that's necessary, I'm saying Christ is dead in vain. That is a serious, serious charge to false religion, to will works religion. That's what you're hearing preached in churches. Christ died in vain. Brethren, let it never be said of us. Let it never, by God's grace, may he work this in our hearts to make us see. That sanctification they call sanctification, that ain't the work of Christ. No, that's a man making himself a transgressor against Christ. Lord, make me bury that self-righteous old man and bury that wilt and bury everything about me that Pharisee. Kill him. Just kill him. And Lord, you make me live and follow you. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate you, your hospitality, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.